You could sit, yeah, you know, you could...
Introducing Ellie Weber, 9 o'clock sharp, Sefer Mitzvot, number 219, Motzi Shemra. Not that we ever speak such in this kolo.
Well, if anybody's ever been involved in what we're about to discuss, you're in the same category as Mr. Cardinale.
Cardinale.
Whatever his name was.
You're a bad person.
Okay, so shockingly, despite what they tell you when you're young, that motzi shemra is a bad thing, apparently it's a mitzvah.
There you
go. Okay,
it's like get it's a mitzvah too.
Right. So the answer is, it's one of the
character analysis.
It's obviously not a mitzvah that you ever want to do, and it is part of. It's the continuation of last week. Where last week we talked about, we called last week's mitzvah v'lo tihiya le'isha, that if you rape somebody, that she, you know, if she's willing to or she wants to marry you, you have to pay a fine, and you have to marry her v'lo tihiya le'isha, and she has to remain your wife forever. If she wants to divorce you, then you can be divorced, but otherwise, in that situation, it's forever. Meaning, and we saw in the Chinuch and in the Ramban and other places that this was something that the Torah really wanted to stamp out, this whole, I don't want to say that there was a rape culture, but clearly it was a problem, or there could have been a problem in an imbalance in society where in order to make sure that, I would say this, one of the conclusions we had last week is that it's almost like as a deterrent, the Torah punished a rapist sort of more than you might have thought appropriate. It's not just that he has to pay a fine, but he has to live with the consequences forever. And the idea is, you know, that will stop people from doing it. Okay?
He has to marry Raquel.
That was ones. That was rape. That was mitzvah 218. Now, mitzvah 219 is motzi shemra. This is complicated and fascinating at the same time. Says the Torah in Parshas Kisei Dvar in Perek Chafbet Pasuk Yud Gimel Ki Yi, and there's so much stuff here just to get through the Pesukim. Ki Yikach Ish Isha Uba Eila Usineya. Okay, this is not a happy story. A man gets married, and the simple pshat is he has a relation with his wife, and he hates her. Okay, that's a harsh word, Usineya. It's not the only place it's in the Torah.
Is it by Sota also?
Huh?
By Sota also?
No, it's not by Sota. It's like with the Ben HaBechor, the first wife and the second wife, the first son and the second son, right? Ben HaBechor, you know, he loves the second wife more than the first wife. It shows up in marriage, but all I want to point out is that the Torah, I think, is kind of letting us know in advance that this is a bad guy. Because Usneya could be irrelevant to the fact. Whatever's about to happen is either fact-based or not. The Torah is letting us know in advance that this guy's not like motivated to shame Shamayim. Usneya, he hates his wife. Okay? As a result of that, Pasuk Yudalit, Visamla alilot dvarim, Vahotzi ala shemra. And he says falsehoods about her, and he vahutzi ala shemra, literally, he publicizes about her a bad name. What's the bad name? Va'amar et ha'isha hazot lakachti. I married this girl. Va'ekrav eleha, and I had relations with her. V'lo matzati la betulim. She's not a virgin. You know, it was presented to me that she was and she's not. Now, that's about as insulting and as, not just insulting, but as value reducing as could happen. Right? There's a different amount of in a ksuba for a ba'ula and for a besula. Right? You literally pay more for a woman who's a virgin than you do for a woman who's had relations. So what he's saying is, you know, it's hurtful, it's harmful, it's bad stuff. Now, in the Psuk in the Torah says as follows. V'lakach avi hana'ara. So the father of the bride intervenes. V'lakach avi hana'ara v'iman, the father and the mother. Vahotziu et bituleha na'ara el zikne ha'ir ha'shara. And literally, and almost certainly it's not what the pasuk means, but literally, they take out the bituleha na'ara el zikne ha'ir ha'shara. Right? They bring evidence of the fact that in fact she was. Okay?
She was what?
She was a virgin. And therefore, let's just assume in the very, very, you know, graphic case, right, they bring the towel, they bring the sheet, and they show that, you know, that she bled. Okay? There's a machlokas, whether it means literally or they bring other proofs, but let's just read the psukim as we see them. Pasuk kazan. Va'amar avi hana'aral hazikenim. And the father of the bride says to the court as follows. Et biti natati la'isha zel li'isha. I married off my daughter to this man, and he hates her. Not only that, v'hinehu sam alilot zvarim lemor, and he made up falsehoods about her, saying, lo matzati libitcha bitulim, ve'ele bitule biti. He said that she was a bu'ula, she had had relations before, and it's not true, and I'll prove it. Ufar suhas simla lifnei zikne ha'ir. Now, two pshatim, either literally, you know, they show the marital bed sheet that shows that she bled and therefore he was making it up, or it's figuratively. They bring other proofs. Now we'll have to figure out what in the world you could bring as other proofs.
The biological situation.
Could they both be accurate so it's not like Motzi Shemra? He believes her not to be virgin.
No, in the psukim, it's Motzi Shemra. The way the psukim set it up.
He's nefarious. He's
the way the psukim set it up, that, you know, in the first pasuk says usnea, he hates her. The Torah is letting you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, pasuk yuchet. The lakhu zikne ha'ir ha'hi et ha'ish v'yisruoto. So the bezdin punishes him v'yisruoto means he gets makos. He is punished with lashes. In addition, pasuk yuchet. Va'anshu oto mea kesef. Second, they fine him 100 kesef. 100 kesef, if you'll recall from last week, is double, right? A ma'anes, a rapist, pays 50.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to come back to this. He pays 100. Okay? V'anshuzo mea kesef, v'natnu la'vi anara, ki hotzi shem ra al bitulat Yisrael. That's an interesting line. It's almost like we're much more concerned with the reputation, the societal reputation of young Jewish girls. It's not just that he did something wrong to this girl, but he basically, because all he said was that she was not a bitulah. But the Torah says we're going to punish him. Ki hotzi shem ra al bitulat Yisrael. You could read it as saying he did something wrong to this girl, or it's like he besmirched all Jewish girls.
Can't trust him.
By claiming that this thing happened, and now the same exact din as last week. V'lo tihiya le'isha, lo yuchal le'shalacha kol yamav. Okay, it's the exact opposite, you know. He obviously doesn't want to remain married to her, and he wants some other things out of this. And instead, the Torah says, the punishment is, he has to remain married to her forever. Now, just some interesting things. First thing is, there are three separate punishments in this case. Let's be clear. One, makos. Right, he gets lashes. Two, he has to pay a fine, and it's a large fine. And three, v'lo tihiya le'isha lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. He has to remain married to her forever.
That may not be a punishment.
Why? He hates her.
He hates her today. He may not hate her in a year or two or five. You know, so.
Okay, I would say this, and I'm not bragging here. I love my wife. Okay, whether she listens to the shiur or not. But there's something about knowing you have no cards to play, right? You're not allowed to, whatever you say, you're not allowed to divorce her. It's not something that anybody's looking for, in my opinion.
Have to hear this year along with all the others to get
no matter how strong, no matter how strong the marriage is. It's clear, now again, it's a mitzvah satorah, but it's clear that that's not meant for his benefit. Now, one second. I want to raise a question because there's so many things going on here and it's so hard to try to get a grasp on it. But let's say the beginning is true. The first pasuk, ki ikach ish isha uba ila usneya. Okay, a man gets married and he decides he hates his wife. What's the din?
Divorce her.
Yeah. He not stuck. He had a way out. So why would he make a claim that's not true?
Money.
Presumably money. It could be he really hates her. And divorce is, you know, is not a good enough punishment yet. But probably money. Meaning, he's committed to pay her X million shekel and her ketubah. But if it turns out that it was a mekach tos, right? It wasn't the marriage he was expecting, or she cheated on him. Now, what we haven't discussed yet is there's two different possibilities. When you read the psukim, what's his claim? Is his claim that she cheated on him, or is his claim that she's simply not who he thought she was?
Yeah,
it's not helpful.
Well, the second, of course.
The second. Okay, so interestingly, you'll see. The way I would have read the psukim is, he's not claiming she cheated on him, right? He's just claiming it's a mekach tos. She's not who I thought she was. Okay, but you'll see in the Gemaras and in Rishonim, they assume the other possibility. They assume that what he's claiming is she cheated on him.
Well,
now,
it's a death penalty.
Right. So how do you cheat on your husband when you just got married the first night? How does that work?
When you're engaged first.
Huh? Right. So the answer is it's not like during the shmored. It's what? It means not the tanayim. It means there used to be the kiddushin, and then months later the nisuin, right? So what does kiddushin mean? What's the bra? We now do it both. We do both parts under the chuppah. But what's the bracha for? It's called kiddushin or erusin. Erusin is the more precise word. What's the bracha? Asher asa lanu asa arusos v'hitir lanu asa nesuos. What we're saying is, she's asur to everybody after the erusin, right? So it's true. It's a death penalty for her if there are edim and hasra and she cheated on him. So I just want to reopen the possibility that the claim he's making is not just a monetary claim, which at a minimum he's making, because he could have always divorced her, but he may be after something worse. He may be trying to punish her for a crime that she did or didn't commit. Okay?
Does she have a choice of not marrying him? I'm not asking for a divorce.
Yes.
Yes.
I believe so. I believe it's the exact same thing as the Ma'anis and...
I think in Makkah, it's rare if not impossible. You have a Makkah and a fine. Is the double here because there's two different affairs going on?
No, I don't think there's two different. What you're saying is there's a thing that's called Kimle Bidirabamine, which means if you're going to be subject to a death penalty, then you don't pay the fine. You just get the worst one.
Oh, I thought even Makkah.
It could be Makkah, but that's when there are alternatives. Here, the punishment is all three. Okay? But it's hard to know which is the worst. Like, Kimli B'Drabamine, okay, you know that this is the more significant, right? The $100 fine, you're about to be killed. What's the difference? Okay? So, it's, again, his motivation is a little strange. Again, because he could have just divorced her to begin with, but I guess it makes him a cheap guy. He wants a divorce and he doesn't want to pay, and or he hates her so much that he wants to see her punished either by ruining her reputation or by her having to face the death penalty. Now, it's always, when you look at this, you know, the usual questions pop up. Is this a mitzvah? Do we normally, again, it's in the Sefer Mitzvah Ram. Is this a mitzvah? So the answer is, and we've discussed this before, it's a mitzvah if you slightly change your definition of mitzvahs, right? If your definition of mitzvahs is putting on tzitzis and putting on tefillin and sitting in a sukkah, then of course this isn't a mitzvah. But if your definition of a mitzvah are 613, you know, concepts that apply in different situations and that yield halachic results, then the answer is of course this is a mitzvah. It's not the kind of mitzvah you want to be mekayim, but just like divorce isn't a mitzvah that you want to be mekayim, but the Torah lays out the process by which you get to the result of a divorce, here the Torah lays out the process by which, if X happens, this is the punishment, and these are the rules that apply. Okay, so just like last week, we discussed it was a mitzvah, v'lo tiyeh li'isha, if you rape somebody, then if she wants, you're obligated to stay married to her forever. It's not because it's a great marriage. It's not because the Torah wants rapists to marry. It's because in this situation, this is the Torah mandated result. So in this situation of Motzi Shemra, this is the Torah mandated result. Yes.
Why would we want her to be imprisoned by remaining married to him for the rest
of
her?
Oh no, she could say no.
She can.
Just like in the Ones case. Again, the theory is that he wants to get out of his monetary obligation, so we don't let him. Right? It's hard to think of these marriages, in this case certainly, as like romantic marriages, the way we think of them. And the Torah could have been any clearer. But I think the answer is, if she's not going to have any alternatives, because I assume most of these cases end with not 100% certainty on one side, zero. You know, it's going to be with her forever. And it may make it practically impossible for her to get married to somebody else. Because who would want to marry somebody, A, whose husband announced that he hates her, and B, whose husband announced that he either cheated under her or cheated before, what happened, you know, it's bad for your reputation. Sometimes I think we have to remind ourselves, like, I think in those days, to not retain your virginity was whatever, you know, was something much different than it is in our day, where people think of it as just a choice, and it's not necessary, you know what I mean? Like, I think in those days, if you weren't a virgin, you know, there was something wrong with you morally. And we live in a society where, okay, you know, we live in a society where even cheating in your marriage, we've learned to figure out and to understand. I think, you know, the premise here is that we're living in a different world.
Not a fair world. You can't test male virginity.
Well, that's okay. All males.
Uh-huh. Lucky for us.
Yeah.
He's accusing her of a sex act. The fact that she can prove possible virginity doesn't mean there wasn't a sex act that he now wants to badmouth
her. Yes, there was. That's what it means, for the most part.
In the old religions, there was a cult of the virgin. I mean, you find it in many, many religions.
Okay. Okay. Now, let's look. So the Rambam, just because we're learning today from this, and I just want to say, I thought long and hard about skipping this one, but I thought, like, come on, we're learning. Okay? So source number two, the Rambam says, Vamitzvah Reishis Yutes, number 219, Hu Din Motzi Shemra. He doesn't really give you much. It's the din of Motzi Shemra. Kelomar, what does that mean? Shetivanu lahal koto, we're commanded to give him makos. Vishetisha'er ishto imo, and that she remains with him. Lefi shababo gamkein. Shababo gamkein. Oh, veloti eli isha lo yuchal shalcha kalyamav. Because just like in the case of rape, the Torah is the same halacha here. If he's Motzi Shemra about his wife, he can never divorce her. Yes.
Where did he get the makos from? The pasuk that
the Yitru Oto is understood in the pasuk, in the end of pasuk Yudches, that's used in many places in the Torah to mean makos.
Okay?
Now, let's try to get a sense for how Chazal understood this case. Okay, because there's too many things in the fact pattern that we don't understand. So let's look at the Rambam in source number 3, in Hilchos Nara of Sula, and the Rambam kind of lays it out for us. He says, Ketzad Hotsa'at Shemra. Okay, how does it work? What's the case of Motzi Shemra? Says the Rambam, Hu Sheyavo Lebeitin, the husband comes to court. Viyomar Na'ara Zo Bo'alti, I had relations with this Na'ara, Velo Matzati La Bitulim, and she's not a virgin. Now it gets worse. This is not in the Psukim, but this is how Chazal understood it. Ukishabikashti al hadavar, when I started asking around, when I started investigating, nodali shezinta tachtai achar she'erastiha. It became, okay, just because I don't give it away doesn't mean that you're completely wrong. Or said the other, just because usually you're wrong. Okay. So he says, it started the way it says in the pasuk. I realized she wasn't a virgin. And then, you know, I hired a private investigator because I was so outraged by this. And you're not going to believe this. It's worse than I even thought. It turns out that she cheated after Averson. Means she's Chayv Misa. Okay? Not only that, Ve'elu Hain Eidai Shezinta Bifnehem. Unbelievable. This is like the best private investigator in the world. Not only did he find out that she cheated, but he found witnesses. who observed it. So now, you know, there's no question.
Maybe we does that in private.
You.
This was at the bachelor party.
Ubezdin. So now, so again, we've moved well beyond not just Usnea, not just that she wasn't who she claimed to be, but I now have evidence of the fact that she has committed a capital crime. Third line. Ubezdin shomin divrei ha'edin. Okay, so as in every case, Bezdin listens to the witnesses, but v'chokrin edutam. That's what happens. When witnesses come to court, it's different. It's when witnesses come to a Bezdin, you know, in theory, there's no prosecutor and there's no defense attorney. It's the Bezdin. So it falls on the Bezdin to ascertain the veracity of the testimony. This is not just in this case, it's in every case. And Bezdin does a thing called Drisha B'Chakira, where they question the witnesses separately to see if they believe them and see if everything matches up. It turns out, well, I'm not saying it couldn't be done, but it turns out it's hard to fabricate something and to withstand that kind of questioning. You see, one guy can do it, but it's harder for two people. I'll explain to you how I learned this question, how I learned this the hard way. When I was in sixth grade, Rabbi Teichman taught this kind of idea of how it works in Bezdin. And he said, it's very hard to create a story that will consistently hold between, you know, and I said I didn't think it was hard at all. So me and Shlomo Gottesman went out of the classroom and we made up a story that we were going to testify about. And then he would question each of us separately. And he nailed us right away. Maybe it was, we were in sixth grade. Like, I think I forgot that we made up a date, but we didn't agree if it was what day of the week it was. You know, like, it was pretty easy. Okay, again, I was in sixth grade. And,
oh,
well,
almost in there.
Huh?
Well, almost in there. Sixth grader.
Okay. But I, you know, it took him like 45 seconds to get it. Okay? It was embarrassing. Obviously, that's why I still remember it. I only remember things of which, like, it was great for me or it was terrible for me.
That was
not a highlight for me. But it turns out that's what Bezdin does. You know, if they, the difference between courts as we know them is that when one witness shows up, he could say anything he wants. And the next witness shows up, he can be a supportive witness for the first one, even though they differ on certain facts. Because we kind of understood that that's how it works. But in Bezdin, it's two or nothing. One witness doesn't count at all. And they come as a team. And so any discrepancy between the two is sort of evidence of the fact that they're not telling the truth. And the technical halacha, the way the system works, it's heavily weighted towards the defendant. You know, starting from the fact that you need two witnesses who, in theory, warn the person, right? It, you know, in that way, no one's really going to ever be convicted.
No,
so,
circumstantial.
Huh?
No circumstantial.
For evidence. Sure not. Okay, so
once in 70 years.
Okay, there's different gyrosos, but you're right about that. Ubedin, right, it's one of the interesting things. If you read the Torah, it sounds like Bezdin were killing people every Monday and Thursday. Right after Kriyas HaTorah, they're just killing tens of people. But it turns out it never, ever happened. It's one of these interesting things. We should talk about it once. The difference between the theoretical, you know, the way the Torah reads and the way the halacha is applied. And the way the halacha is applied is people are literally getting away with murder all the time. Okay, yeah. And that's a big discussion later on, and it might be the role of a melech to kind of close those gaps in halacha. It's all very, very fascinating. Like, I'm tempted to talk about this now. I just want to get off the topic. I'll just say one last thing. You know, in discussions of capital crimes and, you know, who are human beings to take the life of another person, things like that, it could be that you really need certainty to do that, even under Torah law. Like, you know, a lot of Torah law of capital crimes could be theoretical. In theory, if we knew that this person really, really wanted to kill this other person, and it wasn't like a crime of passion, and he didn't lose his temper or anything like that, he thought about dispassion, you know, then yeah, you kill him. Now, but it's very, very hard to prove that. Ad kidekah, that under some shitos, you need the murderer toch kidei dibur, meaning within 2 or 3 seconds of pulling the trigger, to say to the witnesses, I know this is prohibited, I know that I'm subject to the death penalty, and nevertheless I'm doing it. It's like he signs an affidavit before he kills, you know, saying, right? It's like there used to be these things called, you know, affidavit of... Sometimes if you really didn't trust the person under American law, you could have him sign an affidavit in advance admitting to not paying you. You know, like, so you could bring that to the court. It's like an affidavit of guilt in advance of having done it. It exists in certain situations. Okay, back to our case. Third line of source number three. Ubeitin shomin divrei ha'edim v'chokrin edutam. Okay, so Bezdin cross-examines the witnesses. Again, these are the witnesses that the husband brings to prove that his wife cheated on him after Eirusin. Okay? Im nimtza hadavar emes niskalet. Then it's just this. That's just a regular capital crime. If it turns out that she cheated after Eirusin and witnesses testify, she gets the death penalty. That's not really our case, right? If you read the Pesukim in the Torah, that's not what we're talking about. But v'im hevi ha'av edim v'hezimu ha'edim shehevi ha'ba'al v'nimtzu sheheidu sheker. Okay, now it's really getting far away from the Pesukim. What happens? The husband brings witnesses, and they testify that she cheated on him. Now, how do you disprove these witnesses? So says the Rambam, the only way to do that is make them into Edim Zomimim. Okay, that's why, you know, date and time and these things are so critical to testimony under Halacha. Because the only way you can make Edim into Edim Zomimim is by two other witnesses coming and saying, again, Edim Zomim is not they're lying. Edim Zomim is a Chiddush HaTorah that a second group of witnesses come and they say, we don't know anything about whether this girl was a virgin or not. But what we know is that you testified that she cheated on her husband on July 2nd at 12:30 in the afternoon in the Four Seasons Hotel in Ranana. There's no such thing, I don't think. Okay. I just got caught up. I was very, you know, proud of myself for making this up. And they say, but, you know, at 12:30 on whatever the date was, you were with us on the beach in Tel Aviv. And you were there for a few hours. So we're not testifying as to the status of the girl. We're testifying that you're lying. We don't know anything about the case. We're testifying that you're lying.
What about the old water test where she's immersed in water and if she comes out...
No, sota is something else. Sota is something else. But, so the Chiddush HaTorah is that when Edim Zomimim show up, right, and if they pass the test, these first two guys are considered to be liars. And worse than that, these first two guys get the punishment that they had attempted to inflict on whoever the victim was. In this case, Skila. Right? Then they're killed. Now, you say to yourself, one second, the punishment for false testimony is death? So the answer is no. The punishment for making up testimony is that va'asitem lo ka'asher zaman la'asitachim. Whatever crime, whatever punishment you attempted to inflict on the subject, it's now going to happen to you. Okay, let's keep going. So the Rambam says the case is Edim, that we turn these Edim into Edim Zomim. Now what happens then? So the Edim, v'mhevi ha'av, Edim v'hezimu ha'edim, shehevi ha'baal, fourth line, v'nimtzu sheheidu sheker, they lied, yiskelu. They get skila. Now what happens to the husband? This is us. V'yilkehu, the husband who set this whole thing up, first thing he gets makos for violating the din. Second, v'yitein me'at sela, he has to pay a fine of 100 sela, whatever that is. V'alzen ne'emar, that's why the pasuk says, v'ele bitulei biti, elu ha'edim sheyazimu edei habal. He brings proof that the first Edim were lying. Now, now it gets even crazier. Chazar habal vehevi Edim acherim vehezim edei ha'av. Now, other Edim come, and they're mazim, the second group of Edim. Okay, ve'edei avia niskalim va'alzen emar v'imemet ha'yad avar azem ipi ha'shmul amdu she'parsha zo yeshba Edim zomimim. V'zomame zomamim. There's a many Edim zomamim in this parsha. Okay. Leave the technicalities for a second, and what you have is a pretty good example of where the halacha understands psukim differently than the pshuto shel mikra. It happens in plenty of places in the Torah, but the first thing we should realize is if you just read the psukim, you get a certain picture. And the picture is the guy said that she's not a betula, the father proved that she was, and now he has to pay a fine, right? In the Torah Sheba Al Peh, it's slightly different. He didn't claim only that she was a betula. He claimed that she was no longer a betula because she cheated on him, right? That makes it a capital crime and everything that follows from it. So the first question to discuss is, without the capital crime, it's not Motzi Shemra? Meaning, wasn't it bad enough in the Psukim that he lied and said, I thought I was marrying a betula, and it turns out she's not? And the Torah says, wait, that's a terrible thing to lie about. You now get makos, and you now have to pay a fine, and you have to remain married to her for the rest of your life. Why did Chazal see, it's not the kind of question he asked, but it just, Chazal must have seen something in this that required them to introduce into it the capital crime aspect of her having not been a betula. Because not being a betula is just a status. You know, you don't get punished for it.
Women can lose virginity without sinning.
Okay, here the assumption is, the Gemara is what knows all about that, and maybe that's really the answer. Maybe the answer is, she is a betula, she didn't bleed for 100 different reasons, that could be,
she's
right?
She's a gymnast, and she exercised on the horse.
Yes, that and other possibilities. We could take a break now. We could suggest all of them, but we'll have to destroy the recording. It's not going that well anyway. One second, he's waiting. Yeah, wait, so I'm sorry. So then the short answer is, it could be that that's the only way, you know, you really know truth or not truth. There are Edim. Obviously, it wouldn't matter what her story is. She could say that, you know, she's a gymnast, but two Edim saw her be Mizana. So it could be that the only practically, you know, the way the psukim described it made a lot of sense and it read properly for us. But you could never ever have that case because, you know, there are 100 reasons to explain why there was no blood. And let's, you know, and presumably he's no expert, and right? So it could be the only way you could ever get this case into court and adjudicate it, you know, based on facts as you know them, is if you introduce Edim either way. Because in Halacha, Edim, you know, Edim are, if two Edim testify to something, it's a fact. And we need facts in order to convict him of the crime of Motzi Shemra. Yes?
What happens if he's a Kohen, she's an Eishes Kohen, do they get a threat from? That's what the Spiegel?
Yes, I think that's right. I think that because that's the crime.
That's the punishment
that
she would have
gotten. Exactly. So is that true that the Edom also gets Sreifa in that case?
That's what I'm asking.
It's a Gemara and Makos, right? I can't remember what the answer is. Whether they get the higher punishment, right? Whether they would have to, you know, because it's something unique. I think it could be that they just get Skila. Okay. Now, so the way the Rambam set it up is the only way this din goes forward is if there's Edom Zomamim. Right, the husband brings Edim to testify that she cheated on him. Okay, if other Edim come, and you have to understand something. What if other Edim come and say we were there at the same time, and it's not the way you said? Anybody know what happens then? Again, two Edim come. The first two Edim come and they say we saw her be Mizana, you know, in the Four Seasons Hotel. At this place, at this time, on this date, we saw her be Mizana. Okay? Now two other Edim come and say, that's not what happened.
Edim Machdishim.
Good. Yeah. And what happens then?
So they throw out the
It's case. A stalemate. Yeah. It's a stalemate. Right? Because you have two against two. The chiddush of Edim Zomim is it's not two against two. Because the second two aren't testifying that what the first two say. They're just saying it's We don't know anything about whether this girl cheated or didn't. All we know is that you couldn't have been there. So now look, well, so for whatever reason, I guess I'm saying is, the Rambam doesn't use that. The Rambam says it has to be Eidim Zonamim. Okay? Look at the Sefer Achinuch in source number 4. He's like the Rambam, but it's more specific and clear. He says, V'noheget li'inyan ha-malkot v'haknas bizman ha-bayit. Again, there are three punishments. Makos, a fine, and he has to remain married to her forever. So it says v'chinuch, the first two only apply when there's a bezdin bizman she-bayit ha-mikdash ha-yakayim. Why? Shahayinu danin dinei knasot. We talked about this last week. Remember we asked the question whether having to stay married to her is a knas or a mitzvah. So the chinuch says the fine and the makos, that's a knas, means it doesn't apply bizman hazeh, because we don't have authorized batei din in bizman hazeh. But uleinyan sheteishev tachat ba'ala le'olam, but the idea that he has to remain married to her forever, af bizman hazeh, applies nowadays also, shem mitzvah alav bekach. It's a mitzvah satorah. It's not contingent on benzin. It's not a knas. Shezeh be'emet mitzvahi v'lo knas. Now again, when the chinuch says mitzvah, it means commandment. He doesn't mean it's a good thing. He means that the Torah has commanded you. How it would possibly play out bizman hazeh in a situation where there's no bezdin and no eidim zomim, I have no idea. But the idea seems to be that the right thing to do, if, for example, you know, God forbid, a person was mostly shamer on his wife, and then, you know, it turns out he lied, it sounds like, even bizman hazeh, the right thing to do is to remain married forever. You know, all these things are obviously preludes to divorce, and since divorce is so easy, bizman hazeh, these things never happen. But, you know, it's a bad thing, and what the chinuch says, again, is three punishments in the Torah. Makos, knas, have to stay married to her forever. Makos and the fine, they're a knas. A knas is a creation of a bezdin. It doesn't come on its own. Therefore, there's no batei din bizman hazeh. It doesn't apply. But lo tiyeh leisha, the obligation for him to stay married to her forever, that does apply bizman hazeh. Really quickly.
Yeah, the parents who are related to this wife obviously have every interest in making.
Parents are the parents.
So So you'd think they couldn't give any testimony to show anything.
They don't testify.
They bring a sheet.
Right.
Well,
right.
What's to say that that's the sheet?
Huh?
They have every interest to keep her honor.
Okay, but in this case, that's all we have. Meaning,
normally we don't allow that. I mean.
The Torah describes them as Avi and Imah. Like, you're not being mechadesh, and the Torah didn't know.
So right? Why does the Torah
allow
them?
Because they're not testifying. They're not testifying.
Can't they bring a bloody sheet and say this was the sheet?
So, okay, there's always a way to cheat. But they're trying. It's clear they're defending their daughter's honor.
Yeah.
But it's also monetary. I mean, the father got money. Maybe he'd have to give it back. Maybe he's going to get a fine now. The Torah knows. But what's clear is they're not Edim.
The husband's also going to court. He's not spreading a rumor. He's taking a case to court because maybe these witnesses are setting him up to end this relationship. So he's not trying to do anything other than what he's supposed to do. Witnesses come. His friend, you know, we saw this fashion.
Okay, I understand that you're, for whatever reason, lie with the husband.
But why assume that he's involved with all this?
What am I going to do?
It's all kinds of collusion.
The Torah says, "Ki kach ish isha ubay la usnei'a."
Well, he hates her now.
In the psukim, it's understood that the first thing was usnei'a. And I'm not getting into all the drushas. Again, you know, you could say what you want. You can't misunderstand that in the story as presented in the psukim, he's the bad guy.
Well, Yoke, that was what
I understand. Stop. Give me a chance. I understand. The Torah has set it up this way. He's a moti shemra. He's a bad guy. Are there situations in which, you know, Harvey Weinstein was set up and he had no idea, and you know, you're trying to defend him? It's fine.
Yaakov,
you can defend Harvey Weinstein as much as you want. Don't bring Yaakov Avinu. Careful here. Don't bring Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu wasn't a moti shemra, God forbid.
But he hated his wife.
I'm working with the psukim of the Torah. You could write your own movie. It's fine.
It's the same words.
Source number five. Tosfos says as follows. V'choshishin l'laz. It's a discussion we're not going to get into, which is what size bezdin do you have to have? 3 or 23? It's interesting.
23.
23. Because of Kepha. No, well, first it's just Motzi Shemra. That's the three. Mako, right? No. But because there's a Mako, because it could turn into a capital crime, right? So Tov says, V'choshin l'laz, haynu laz hadayanim kegon shevi abal edim shezinta, v'hukhisha, d'mechayev abal hashto kufslayim. The discussion in the Gemara is, you can have three judges. The problem is, if you have to add judges, people will assume that these judges were somehow disqualified or were unable to do the case, and we're worried about that. So maybe you should have to start with 23. But what interests me is the middle part. Tosfos says, what's the problem? The problem is that if he brings Adim that she was Mizaneh, V'huk Cheshu. You see that word? Second to last word on the first full line? Not Adim Zomamim in Tosfos, but V'huk Cheshu. Meaning, something happened to make us think that these Adim are not telling the truth. But it's not necessarily a case of Adim Zomamim. And now look at Rashi in source number 6. Rashi says, Dekolzman Shelohebi Habal Adim Shezinta Tatav Eino Mitchayev L'Shalei Me'os Sela Al Yidei Atzmo. Rashi has a completely different take, and this is important. Rashi says, it's not just that he told Lashon Hara. There's no 100 Sela fine for Lashon Hara. You don't get Makos for Lashon Hara. It's when you try to prove it. Look again. Dekolzman shelo hevi habal edim shezintah tatav. Any time he doesn't bring edim, eino mitchayev l'shalem me'as sela al yidei atzmo. He doesn't have to pay the fine. Again, my assumption is that we're not in favor of this kind of behavior. We're not in favor of slandering your wife. But this is not regular slander. This is slander backed up by WhatsApps.
He's using
by
the Ma'arechat HaMishpat in order to engage in this behavior, which is really worse than just stopping Motzi Shemra.
Well said. Right. It's not just he said, she said. He's not satisfied with that. He's going to court. He's bringing witnesses. He's trying to prove that she's a liar. So Rashi says, it's only when you get into the court system that these dinim apply. Now, I want to be clear. It doesn't mean there aren't lessons to be learned from this. We sometimes make the mistake that, oh, if you don't get makos from it, it's okay. No, Rashi is saying, technically speaking, the din of Motzi Shemra, that includes a fine and what have you, it requires a step beyond the normal step. Not the husband telling a guy in shul, my wife isn't who I thought she was. It's the husband going to court and trying to prove it in what I assume is a very public way. Right? Like I think that once you went to court, that was like going to the press, Bisman Azeh. People used to go to court to observe cases. It was as public a form as you could have. So Rashi says you have to go to court. Kid, I'm in a big tuvot. Delo karina bei v'imemet hayah davar. De belav edim lo miktala. Without edim, she'll never be killed. Hilkach. Ihu nami lo mechayev elohim kein hevi edim shezinta v'huzmu. He will never ever have to pay unless he brought Adim v'huzmu. Again, Rashi's like the Rambam. It has to be a case of Adim Zomim. I can't emphasize enough how incredibly unlikely this case is, halacha l'maisa. Right? Just imagine this. He has to, basically, he has to get married. Right? He has to be told that his wife is a virgin. He has to hate her such that he makes up this falsehood. And he hates her so much, well, falsehood, which, as we recognize together, can't be disproven. Because, and I want to get into this, but even then, it could be any reason why there's blood on some sheet or whatever, right? His hatred is such that he then hires witnesses, to fabricate this crime. And even then, the only way it could play out is that other witnesses come, right, and prove that the first witnesses were lying. We have to understand that we're within the realm of, theoretical halacha, and not necessarily practical halacha. Yes.
All right. I mean,
yes, it could happen.
So in the days they used to get engaged with 12-year-old girls and not necessarily take them home until they were a couple of years old at least. It could be they changed mind 2 years later. You just didn't want to pay off.
Right, I agree with that completely. Right. That's different.
So up to here, it's sort of a normal scenario.
Agreed completely, right? Motzi Shemra, a husband hating his wife, a husband
not
wanting
to... Hating, he just doesn't want credit to her.
Okay, but I don't need that. The Torah says he hated her. Now, you could say Usneya doesn't mean that necessarily, but that's fine. But this is pretty far to go to get out of paying his tzuba, right? Because you're not... At some point, let's say you're the worst guy in the world. Well, obviously you're not. But let's say you know the worst guy in the world. It's one thing to say, okay, you set up a situation. He's the worst guy. Okay. You set up a situation which could be, even after 6 months, whatever, he found something better. He doesn't want to marry her. He could divorce her. The answer is, but he's cheap. Okay, so he wants to save money. We all want to save money every once in a while. I like to go to a sale and save money. Would you actually go and pay two witnesses to fabricate a crime against your wife such that she's now going to be killed? It's a capital crime. Say what you want.
That's
this isn't garden variety jaywalking.
But that's why you have Sinan involved.
Huh?
That's why you have Sinan involved.
Okay, that could be the answer. All I'm saying is this isn't I want to get out of my marriage. This is something 100 times worse than that. That's all I'm saying. You're right. Maybe you're right. The Torah bothers to say sinah, because what would be the rationale? And I would claim, like this man, whose name I don't know.
Alex.
Okay. That maybe that's why the Torah said usneah, because, you know, only genuine hatred. It doesn't mean that he decided that he doesn't want to marry her. He hates her. There's something going on here that's making him act irrationally. Yes.
Is this a case where he's had sex with her once? And what happens?
That's my assumption.
And
yes.
What happens if he has sex with her again? Is that rape?
Why? No. Why would it be rape?
She's being accused. She says no, and he has.
I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, you know, is there? Honestly, I don't know the answer to the question of is there rape in halacha between married people. I know that in American law. Till relatively recently, there was no such thing.
Recently, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it could be. I'm not comparing American law to halacha, but it could be that whatever it is, you know, it might be grounds for divorce, but it's not rape.
This reminds me of Shender. The bar is set so high to be in violation of the Torah that this is a subcategory of Shender. It's so high it has to be better than.
So I agree, and I want to make that point because I think it's important. I think sometimes we get lost in the details. The details matter, you know, halacha l'maisa and for learning purposes. But what stands behind it, you know, where and Chazal make these points all the time, that one thing leads to another, leads to another. I want to come to that at the end if we have time.
She's not surrounded by halacha l'maisa, so she would be
after. She's getting skila.
No, but as soon as she claims that she was being
halacha, yes, that
she's not surrounded by halacha.
Correct. Yes. Correct. Absolutely. Now, let's look at the next. Let's see if we can knock off two Gemaras quickly. And they have two different approaches. Okay, first the Mishnah Arachin. The Mishnah Arachin says, "B'motzi Shemra lahakilu lahachmir." Motzi Shemra has a kula and a chumra. How does it work? Ketzad. Echad shahotzi Shemra al gidola shebikuhuna v'al kitana shebiyisrael. He told Lashon Hara, he made this claim about a grown up Kohenes, and you know, the alternate case is a Kitana who's just a regular Yisraeli, he has to pay 100 Sela. Nimsa ha'omer b'fiv chamor min ha'osem ma'aseh. Says the Torah, says the Mishnah, turns out saying something that's wrong is worse than doing something that's wrong. Why? Shekein matzinu shalom nitchatem gizar din al avotinu b'amidbar Ela ala shon hara shene'emar vayinatsu oti ze eser pamin. It's talking, not doing, that's worse. What is he talking about? He's mentioned, what the Mishnah is referring to is the following. What is the fine for rape? The answer is chamishim kesef. What is the fine for motzi shemra? 100. Okay? So the Mishnah, forgetting all the technical din, and the Mishnah is saying, this is a significant lesson to be learned here. That the Torah is saying, sometimes words are worse than deeds. I assume that in the old days, being a rape victim was not as bad as being a philanderer or as having cheated on your husband, right? In terms of your reputation. In one, you're a victim. Okay, no one wants to be a victim. But in the other, you're the criminal. And so the Mishnah points out sort of like this interesting thing that the Torah sometimes has, in this case, it's much worse than rape. He didn't touch her, but he's ruining her life. This is an interesting insight. Now,
or, as we said, that that involving the justice system in this whole thing by virtue of bringing aid in, zonim in, it is worse than a private act.
Okay. Could be.
You've taken this into the public arena.
Could be. All I'm saying is if you asked 100 Jews, right, what's worse, rape or lashon hara, the answer is rape. But then the halacha is otherwise. Okay? So here you see sort of, I guess what the Mishnah is doing, the Mishnah is stepping back and saying, forget all the technicalities. This is a significant message being delivered here by the Torah. And that is that sometimes, harm to reputation is worse than a physical crime.
Is her reputation absolved at this particular
point?
Do you think her reputation is always a little tarnished? It can never really be fully...
That's what people say. Again, thank God, but I think that's probably right. I think it's hard to go back to... Although, you see in society now, scandals go away. And, being the victim of a scandal certainly would go away. I don't know. Let's go to number 8. Let's look at the Mishnah in Ksubos. Another approach. It doesn't work. The crime doesn't apply to a girl who's less than 12. It has to be a real na'ara. Let's say it's 12 and a half. If it wasn't for the fact that the Torah used the word na'ara, I would assume it applies even to a ketana. He said, why do I need a limud? You don't punish a girl who's 9 years old. She can't get skila. She's not a bar onshin. She can't be punished. Okay? Okay, so the Torah is telling you that here, there's a special limud that they had to teach you that na'ara means not a ketana, but na'ar doesn't mean not a ketana. But the assumption here in this Gemara is that it all relates to the crime. It all relates to the fact that she's going to be punished. In the Mishnah in Erechin, it didn't seem so closely related to the crime or the technicalities. It seemed that it was much more an issue of, what stands behind it. Which again, I suppose what I'm trying to say is there are two different approaches. One is closer to the way you read the psukim, which is, there's a value going on. The Torah is trying to teach you an important value. The other is the Torah is trying to teach you, a narrow halacha. Let's look at this Ramban in number 9. The Ramban in Dvar in Perek Chafet says, "V'tam v'anshu otom maya kesef." We've hinted at this before. It says Ramban, "Acharei hamalkot hanidrash mi v'yisruo." So after he gets the makos from the pasuk, says v'yisruo. So the Ramban says the minhag used to be that in the ketubah of a virgin, of a betula, she got 50 in case they would ever get divorced or he would die. He besmirched her, he slandered her because he hates her. He tried to get, the whole point as we said before, he's trying to get out of having to pay the ketubah. Fascinating, the Ramban's insight. Again, we've been working with this idea that the reason why he has to pay 100 and a rapist only pays 50 is because what he's doing is so much worse. The Ramban says, no, it's actually an interesting technical thing. What's he really trying to do when he's motzi shemra? He's trying to get out of paying the ketubah. How much was the ketubah? 50. What do we like to do when we find people for doing bad things? Double. So it doesn't really teach you that motzi shemra is worse than rape. It just, in this case, if the motzi shemra guy is trying to get out of paying a 50, zaha fine, so now we hit him with 100. Okay? Last source, and then we'll try to wrap up. The Sifrei says, Usneya, again, the first pasuk that we read together, said, Kikach ish yisho boi leo usnei heitzar. The Sefer says, ma Talmud lomar. What is it? Why is the Torah telling us usnei that he hates our lomar to teach us? Re'e ma sin'a goremet. Right, the Torah doesn't have to tell us usnei, the din would be the same otherwise. It says, the Torah wants us to know, see what hatred does. Avar alvia hapkel recha kamocha. A person who's in violation of Yahakal Recha Kamocha, which, by the way, applies to wives, Sofo La'avar Alotisna Tachicha, he'll then be in violation of Don't Hate, and he'll then be in violation of Shvichus Dam, whatever. We see this a lot. Rashi quotes these Medrashim a lot, like in Dvarim, that one thing leads to another, leads to another. But here, the Sifrei is stepping back and saying, the whole key to this parsha is the word Usnea. Mm-hmm. That if you allow yourself to hate, it'll be very, very difficult to overcome the consequences of hate. And to me, that's really kind of the main message. It's like, once you allow yourself, I think I've used these analogies before. I, you know, having never used drugs, right, I don't have to overcome an urge. I don't live with the urge. We don't live with the urge to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. Right? We don't have that urge. If you allow yourself to hate, now you have to control it. Right? And what the Sifrei is saying, I think what the Torah is saying by putting in the word Usnea is, if you make peace with the fact that you hate somebody, it's bad. You know, one thing's going to lead to another. And in a way, you know, you think to yourself, what rational person would do this? And the answer is, it probably wasn't the plan to begin with, right? First he hated her. Then he thought, there's no way I'm going to pay her the ksuba. That's outrageous. You know, I hate her, she doesn't deserve it, she's not all these things. Well, how do I get out of paying the ksuba? Well, if I want to prove this, I have to prove that. How do I prove that she wasn't a betula? Really, the only way I could prove, there's nothing in between. That's what's so fascinating about the case. It's 0 or 100. You understand what I'm saying? He wants to get out of paying the ketubah. He doesn't want to do anything worse than that. He hates her enough, he wants to get out of paying the ketubah. But if the only way to get out of paying the ketubah is claiming that she cheated, right? And now, what happens when you claim that she cheated? She's subject to the death penalty. It means, you know, one thing leads to another, then all of a sudden there's this big jump, and you just go, oh, what's the difference? I hate her so much. You know, you make that jump. I think on some level, if there was something in between, it would have worked. I think, in a way, that's why all the Rishonim point out that it has to be that you brought two witnesses, because I dismissed it at the beginning, but otherwise, all these cases are he said, she said. Mm. Right? There's nothing, you know, he says she's not a besula. Mm-hmm. In the halacha, in the psukim, we trust them. But in the halacha, he says she's not a besula, she says I was. Right? There's 100 ways that I didn't plead, and it has nothing to do with me not doing it. But because he hates her, mm-hmm. he has to prove it wrong. And the only way to prove it wrong is to generate a chiyuv misa. Right? That's what's so fascinating about it. Mm-hmm. And so, I think the bigger point is, if you don't stop it at the very beginning, right? You know, it's possible to say, it's almost better, you know, I don't want to stay married to this woman. But you know what? Since I want to have a different wife, okay, I'll pay the fine. I married her, I made a mistake, I'll pay the ketubah and I'll move on. That's what most rational people would say and would do. I think, you know, crimes and things like this happen because you can't stop in the middle. How could I possibly justify paying her? I hate her so much. And everybody's hatred is justified in the minds of the hater. I've never hated anybody who didn't deserve it. Okay? And neither is anybody else here. But you're so convinced, I really think that the word usnea is like it's so loaded in the Torah. Because it's not just like, you know, an editorial comment. It's a fact. She deserves to be hated, and since she deserves to be hated, and it gets back to like, you know, lo sisna sachicha bilvavecha. All these terrible things are the inevitable result of, you know, justified hatred. So we struggle through the halachic part, because this is really much harder than I thought, and it can't be done in an hour, and there's tons of stuff we didn't get through. But the underlying message and the parsha itself, you know, we did our best with. That's Chicago.
The guy who's from...
Oh, I'm sorry, for the wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
I only give it once a week.
You have the biggest crowd.
Yeah, because Bruce brings food.
Three times as much as Bruce brings. My comment
is
overproof.
They're not trying to overcome their hatred.
Could a from guy say, I love my wife, but I want to be able to sleep with her knowing that I'm not, she's not usher to me. If she slept with her, could you go and investigate what I'm suspicious about?
No, the answer is you shouldn't investigate.
You shouldn't?
You're the husband and you
you don't have anyone to investigate. You go to the court discreetly saying,
no,
I have this
fear.
Because you might be usher to sleep with her if she's with someone else.
I think, again,
she cheated.
What are you talking about?